committee please come to order? Present for the meeting is Council President Harley Nagel, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Councilman Shelton, Councilman Tackett, Councilman Carter, Councilman Street, Councilman Woods, Councilman Smiley, Councilman Bell, Councilman Carrier, and Councilwoman Diller. And Nikai Trailer is taking the minutes for this meeting. I'm Penrose Hollins. We have the approval of the minutes from the March 26th Executive Committee meeting.
Motion approved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The minutes are hereby approved. We'll move on to the first item on tonight's agenda. It's ordinance number 19033 to amend the pay plan and rates of pay for non-union classified service employees and revise the class specification for the position of payroll supervisor, introduced by President Harley Nagel.
Yeah, and if we could do ordinance 19033 and 19034, and the executive administration is here to discuss that.
Sure. Brian Boyd, would you like me to discuss both at the same time?
Go ahead. Sure.
Okay. Sure. So 19033, this is our finance and HR department looked at the position, and based on the increased duties, we are increasing the pay grade from a pay grade 27 to pay grade 29 through this ordinance. And then ordinance 19034, this is the pay plan agreed upon with the union that recently was passed by council, that agreement.
Thank you very much. Councilman Smiley?
19033, can you help me understand what has changed in the this job description since the individual who recently left and then a new person was hired? What job duties have changed in this that would necessitate this? And have duties, if duties have incrementally increased now for this position, what about the supporting position? Have duties changed there?
David Greger, CFO. I think the main thing that's changed is the fact that the level of computerization in our processing, the amount of information and ability to use systems to gather data, produce reports, it's much less of a just processing payroll and much more of a somebody who does data analytics can uncover problematic areas, and the person in the job right now is very facile with all of that, is able to provide management with information and to engage in a lot of process improvement, basically to utilize the tools that we have, modern tools, basically modern payroll systems that I think the job spec never anticipated. And with respect to the support positions, they're still pretty much in bi-weekly to bi-weekly processing of payroll. I don't know if their functions have changed all that much.
And let's be clear, I don't know anybody that's doing these jobs. Okay. What you're talking about, this instrumentation and all was not in place under the previous employee?
I don't know if it was or wasn't. The tools are in place, and in fact, when you just basically look at what the job spec required, it was far less than what is actually being done, and it was as simple as that. That's the rationale. If someone is doing more than the job spec required, you itemize those duties, and then you let HR and the rest of the process play out, and that's in fact, what we've done.
Again, I don't know the people involved. It's a considerable relief, but I have more than a little bit of concern when positions are changed, new people, a new employee comes in, and then shortly thereafter, there's a proposed adjustment that boosts the pay. I mean, it's just hard for me because I've seen it in past administrations where basically an individual's hired at a pay rate, so just take this, I'll take care of it. And then within a year, all of a sudden, now there's a realignment of the position and there's a payroll boost. It just concerns me that's all. And again, you're saying the passing person that left may have been doing this very same work, the same way. It's just whoever didn't see the interest in putting it forward to change the pay rate at that time.
The incumbent, that came in roughly the same time I did. I wasn't part of that recruitment of that.
And we have not reclassified you, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which direction?
I have a concern. That's all.
And it was a fresh look at all this for me.
Right.
When the job duties were listed and the expectations that they exceeded what the current class required, current description required, I thought it's only fair to pursue this.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further comment or questions from Councilman Bell?
Mr. Chairman, was this a retirement? Or did somebody just start a fairly?
I don't know who was in that position before. As I said, I know that the incumbent came on board about the same time I did, in a different position. Back when I was the former CFO's assistant, I had no responsibilities relating to HR at all at that point. I was Pardon me?
The good old days. For you.
You said that, I didn't. but I was much more, a numbers guy, policy guy, so I wasn't exactly, involved at all in the recruitment or what the thought process was at that point. It was presented to me as a fresh issue.
Councilman Snarley, are you done?
Yeah, my issues remain, but I appreciate that information. Appreciate you sharing what knowledge you have of it.
Any other comment or questions from members of council? Councilman Street and Councilman Cartier?
Well, when somebody like me says y'all take care of who you want to, I'm a bad fellow. But that's what he said. He just didn't say it.
But I've never been a good fellow, so there's nothing to change with me.
But at the end of the day, from their side, you want good people, you got to take care of your people. So now my question is, why is this coming before us anyway? When it's vetted through human resources and they put it up, y'all not going to do anything about it, so why don't you just let them have it and let them do what they want with it? Y'all not going to change the thing. If it's vetted through human resources, it's going to be done. Y'all going to say, yes, yes, maybe so, but yes. Give it back to him, let him keep it.
Make a motion we make Jay Ray this time.
I make a motion that Councilman Street becomes a part of y'all.
I'm just glad they don't run my job.
Any further comment or questions? Councilman Cartier, I'm sorry.
No, I mean, maybe to relieve some issues members might have, you could provide some further detail about why you want to reclassify this position. That would be helpful.
It's as simple as.
Did HR give you a little report on it or a recommendation from HR? Maybe you'd read that.
No, I think it was as simple as looking at the list of duties that this person is performing, and then looking at the description of the current position, and understanding that there was a lot more going on, a lot more sophisticated work in the way of the technology, and that it was disparate enough, kind of current versus what he was doing, that basic fairness dictated that we try to get a change.
Any further comment, questions from members of council? Any comment, questions from any? Yes.
Jonathan Yard, FOP. We have a grave concern with this. Our understanding is that the individual has been there for roughly a year, and there's been some major issues within the payroll system. One of our biggest one was a member was overpaid by thousands of dollars and essentially placed on administrative leave, and almost lost his job because of an error that this supervisor was supposed to catch. And that's not the only one that goes on. They happen all the time. I'm not privy to any specific details because fiscal is, it does their job, and they tell me no. We're not telling you any details, but we will say that there are issues within payroll. And to say that he deserves retro back to December when union groups are in negotiations and, you know, they are what they are, and we're just going to allow this, we have major concerns with this.
Thank you very much. Yes, go right ahead.
Good afternoon, members of the council. Chris Schatzler, president of AFSCME Local 1607. I'm going to support my colleague here as well as Councilman Smiley, and I appreciate you speaking about that, Councilman. We have some grave concerns on this as well, and ours are a little bit different, so I have a couple here, so bear with me. My union represents the employee, and I say employee, this supervisor is one person. My local supervisor is responsible for representing the employee under this manager. Historically, the person under him who was a payroll assistant, there has been three payroll assistants in Newcastle County, okay? Back in 2016, two of those payroll assistants applied for jobs that they were well qualified for, and they received promotions, and rightfully so. They were moved to other divisions within finance. For over 6 months, those two employees were held back and could not take their new positions because they were told that they were the only ones that had expertise in payroll. They had to stay back and keep the payroll division running. So we fast forward to today. There is one person as a payroll assistant today. She's working extra hours. She's told that she can't take certain vacations. She comes in on times that she's not scheduled to work just to get the payroll rolling. When we've raised this concern in the past, and I will say to the current CFO's credit, we have not raised this with him yet. We've raised it with the previous two CFOs. We are told that there's absolutely no money for us to fill these vacancies, but yet we're gonna now try to give the supervisor a two pay grade increase. So that's one of our concerns. Our second concern goes back to the CFO's comments that the job has somehow drastically changed. Well, I'm looking at the ordinance, and nowhere in the ordinance does it say we're revising the job spec. The job spec is staying identical to what it was. We're just hooking this guy up with some more money. I don't know that that's happening anywhere else in the county. I mean, I can tell you when it comes to automation and new computer processes, I've run four more computer programs than I did 10 years ago. Both. We're not coming forward with an ordinance to give me more money or the other folks in the county just because they're working computers. I mean, computers, to my understanding, we've always been told they're supposed to make the jobs easier, not, you know, need more money to operate them. And the last concern I have comes with the ordinance itself. And I want to apologize if I have this wrong, because I'll admit I'm not a mathematician, but I just don't understand the ordinance when I read the fiscal impact. So the fiscal impact states for fiscal year 2020 and 2021, respectively, that the fiscal impact is about $3,300 and about $3,400. But when I look at the pay grade increase from a 27 to a 29, if this gentleman's at a step one, which he is not, he was brought in higher than a step one, the difference in money between a step one pay grade 27 and a step one pay grade 29 is at least $5,000. So to me, the fiscal impact is much more than what is being given to council on this sheet. And then we have to calculate benefits and retirement costs into that as well. So I do believe that there's a higher fiscal impact than it's being advertised. Also, it does state that in future years, there's no fiscal impact since the annual operating budget is legislated by county council. to me, that's not accurate, because we're not going to be eliminating this position as budget years continue on. This is a merit employee who will be with the county. Or if he's not with the county, we will hire another person into this merit position. There is a fiscal impact going forward. When we get up to step 10, which eventually this person will be at, it's a difference of over $8,000 per year. So because of those reasons, we have significant concerns, and quite frankly, we can't understand why this one person's being put up to just get more money when we're not changing the job class.
Thank you, Chris. I think you make some very valid points that needs explanations. Councilman Smalley?
Yeah, I appreciate what you said, but I want to be, I try to be very my own detriment. The CFO did not list job changes. He listed what the job specs are now and was very clear that he didn't know what was taking place before they came in about the same time. So it's just unfair to say he listed these as changes, which he didn't. So I just want to fix.
Thank you.
Dave,
Gregor, CFO. With respect to the FOP comments about mistakes made by this individual, I think it's important to clarify how the payroll process works. That information is entered in the various offices and departments around the county. We accept that information gets accepted into our system. We attempt to the best of our ability to filter all of that. But it is important to understand that every county employee has an affirmative responsibility to report if they are overpaid. And in the case we're talking about, the person was overpaid by a significant amount and never reported it. Naturally, when we uncover that, we have the uncomfortable duty of having to go back and to get the proper amount of salary to that person, and it basically involves them repaying over a period of time. It's not an uncommon thing that occurs, but we work to make sure that that repayment doesn't occur too quickly, that we're not interrupting their lifestyle. So I think it's important to understand that. When we make mistakes the other way and employees get underpaid, they're nearly universally willing to come forward and say, my paycheck isn't big enough, there was a mistake made. So it is critical to understand that if any of us gets more in our paycheck than we deserve, we're supposed to report that. With respect to the payroll assistance, we are actively recruiting a second payroll assistant. We got a recruitment plan yesterday. The basic conclusion for our payroll area was that we needed essentially 2.5 people to help out there. That two people, if they're coming to work regularly and don't have a health issue or another reason why they can't be there, is sufficient. What we've tried to do, instead of getting a third position, is to make sure that we have a certain level of cross-training of people in certain other classes, that the same class that can fill in when we have those situations where one or two of those assistants is ill or otherwise unavailable to come to work. With respect to the fiscal note, I'd have to go back and look at that. I know the language that was used around that is basically boilerplate. It's the language that gets used in any of these situations. So I think I've addressed the remarks that were made.
I believe you have, but personally, I'm not satisfied with your response to the fiscal note, the fiscal impact. There may be boilerplate, but
I'm just talking about the language. The
language may be boilerplate.
I will admit that okay.
Councilman Smalley?
Okay, I have two quick things. First, I'm not going to try to defend without having all the information,
right,
the employee. I would just tell you, years ago when we got hard checks, I would agree with you. But nowadays with direct deposit, there are employees that don't even touch the checkbook at home. And the spouse assumes it's overtime. They have no idea. Matter of fact,
I used to have a guy work with me. He hadn't looked at his checkbook in years. Nice to have that kind of money, but he never looked. And I did his payroll. I could have shorted him every freaking week. He'd never known. So I'm not going to defend it, but direct deposit, that's had an impact on employees being able to take responsibility. Me, I know every dollar because of the way I've done money in department. As far as the fiscal note, I think if you look, because I don't know what pay grade the individual is, but it looks like the numbers are the difference between 28 and 29 instead of 27 and 29. The numbers look more on the classification, the pay grade. It looks like the numbers more closely associate the differences between the 28 and 29 instead of the 27, where you just position, and I'm not saying the position is going from 27 to 29. It looks like the numbers are from 28 to 29.
Okay.
I think that's where the shortfall is. That's it. Thank you, sir.
Councilman Street.
We make payroll every 2 weeks. How many people on payroll?
How many people?
On payroll. How many people do you have to pay every 2 weeks?
Every 2 weeks? On the order of, there's weekly payroll for one local. So I'm guessing on the order of 1,400, 1,300 in that range.
And total payroll amount of approximately?
$1,500.
Dollar amount.
Dollar amount? The general fund is payroll is approximately, with overtime, about $100 million a year. So every, if there's 26 pays, you're around $4 million. General fund, the sewer fund is, I'd have to go back and get that for you. Off the top of my head, I can't recall the sewer fund number, but it's well below that, obviously.
So $4 million, 1,400 people every 2 weeks, and to your knowledge, how often are mistakes made?
As a percentage of that total, it's a very rare thing, rare occurrence.
Thank you.
Why are we now growing the CFO?
Any further comment, questions from members of council? Seeing none, any comment or questions from anyone in the public? Seeing none, just for the record, I do want to read ordinance number 19034 to amend the pay plan and rates of pay for union unclassified service school crossing guards represented by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 2270 AFL-CIO. It's also sponsored by President Hartley Nagel. We're down to other. Is there anything under other? Remind council members that we do have pictures to be taken. We're about 5 minutes late. Thank you very much.